You know, the Bible is replete with people who at one time or another were called prophets. They spoke prophecy and they also prophesied. But what does that have to do with us today? Why does it matter? Does it matter? Are there prophets today? Is prophecy important? Do we or will we hear prophesying? And can we distinguish God's true word from those word of false prophets, those who claim they are sent by God and yet aren't? Now, if you look through the Old Testament, there are so many prophets. Noah, Abraham, Aaron, Moses. People mentioned in the book of Judges, Samuel, David, Daniel. Those are just a few highlights. And there's so many more. And these people came from all walks of life. You know, they had other titles attached to them. Moses was adopted in infancy by an Egyptian princess, received a prince's education in Egypt, had all the wealth, everything that you could imagine, and he left it all behind. Ezekiel and Jeremiah were priests for God, yet they were also called prophets. David started out as a young man as a shepherd, leading sheep. He then became a warrior. And then he became a king. He was also a poet and wrote many of the Psalms that we have today. But he too was a prophet. I don't know if you know this, but Amos was a herdsman. Elisha was a plowman. Daniel was taken into slavery, became a governmental administrator, and yet he was also a prophet. And it's from such diverse backgrounds God chose prophets. You know, their influence and their authority didn't come from any rank that they held, any education, wisdom, or wealth. It entirely came from God, because he chose them to be his messengers. And so there's a few key takeaways that we should understand in regards to prophets. The first one is, prophets receive from God foreknowledge of things that would happen before they did happen. Now, this can happen in different ways, through dreams, visions, maybe God sending an angel, or being moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. Is that where I wanted to start? 2 Peter 1. Ah, I was looking into 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is of any private interpretation. For a prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to go far digging on YouTube to find people who claim they have the newest prophecy, the best insight, and yet their proclamations turn out to be not true. So we can see that they are indeed not prophets. Now, point two, with the knowledge that prophets received, they informed people of what God had said and what was going to happen. You know, usually this was in types of warnings to what people were doing, how they should change, how they should repent or do differently. And this happened both on a personal and a national scale. Look at Zechariah 1 and verse 6. Zechariah 1 and verse 6. Yet surely my words and my statutes which I command my servants the prophets, did they not overtake you, your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. You know, it should not come as a surprise, as we so aptly heard in the sermonette, that turning away from the Bible, from the commands that God has, even with all the warnings that are in this book, it leads to corruption, to deception. So we've got 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Prophets were oftentimes and had to be mighty in word. They had to stand up for the truth. They had to tell people where they were wrong. But this didn't always mean that the people took heed and listened. But it was still the prophet's job to do what God had commanded. Jeremiah 7 and verse 1. Jeremiah 7 and verse 1. And the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all of you Judah who enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. He was standing in a very public place, having to speak these things. Verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. People were trusting that God would protect them because they had some temple. Verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in the place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, been a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. And then point three. Oftentimes, the prophets of God were empowered to have the ability to do miraculous things. Now, this helped to get people's attention that these men whom God had sent were true prophets. Think about Noah's building of the ark. The ark was massive. It wasn't a small task. It took Noah hundreds of years to accomplish this. Most people thought he was crazy. Yet he still preached righteousness. You know, Jeremiah was afraid to become a prophet. Yet God said that he had set him apart since birth to do this. Elijah called down fire from heaven by God. And it caused Israel to turn. And yet, he still ran away. So to tie all this together, a prophet in the literal sense of being a prophet, they will be able to do miracles, they will have the power of God to preach mightily, and they will be able to understand prophecy and actually give prophecies that are may not even be mentioned in the Bible, and they will come true. Now we look around, and is there anyone at this time who is doing such a thing? You know, when the time comes for this to happen, God will make it abundantly clear who that person is who is a prophet in the proper manner. Now, men who are in the ministry, they do prophesy in line with what the Bible has to say. But this in and of itself doesn't make us prophets. Let's look at this point. In Numbers 11 and verse 16, we'll actually cover a few scriptures here to point this out. Numbers 11 and verse 16. We'll read to verse 30. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk to you, with you, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat.'" And then Moses asks, how are you going to do this, etc. And then dropping down to verse 21. And Moses said, "The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, 'I will give them meat, and they shall eat for a whole month.' Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them?" Verse 23, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not.'" In verse 24, "Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle." Verse 25, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed it upon them, upon the 70 elders, and it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again." Verse 26, "But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the other the name was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out of the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my lord, forbid them. And then Moses spoke to him and said to him, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. You know, we see here that it was a miracle that God allowed these men to prophesy through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this one instance alone didn't make them prophets. Although Moses would have liked that, that's not what happened. Let's also look at Joel 2, verse 28 and 29, because it's a prophecy for times to come. God, I love when the thing you're looking for you can't find. Oh, it's here somewhere. It is before Amos, isn't it? Yeah, there it is. Thank you. Joel 2 and verse 28. And it says, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. There will be those who will prophesy. But again, it does not mean that makes them prophets or prophetesses. So let's look at Acts 10 and verse 48. Or 44 to 48, Acts 10 and verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on all the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, Can anyone be forbid that water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So we see here also that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. They heard their native tongue spoken. It's truly a miracle. Since we are in the book of Acts, if you'll turn to Acts 19 and verse 1. Acts 19 and verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In verse 6, And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon these men, and they prophesied and spoke in tongues. But it does not mention that it actually made them prophets. you will, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul here is writing and he says, "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." Now this entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 14 goes into this subject. But the will of Paul here was for the preaching of the word of God, for the uplifting of those who heard it. Now he goes through this chapter and shows what he means. He mentions that tongues are for a sign to unbelievers, but that prophesying is for those who are believers, those who understand. I'm quoting from our Q&A, "Why did God use Deborah in a leadership role as a prophetess and judge to Israel? And why is this recorded in God's word?" We say, "Men have served as prophets and women as prophetesses, as the word of God clearly illustrates. In the church of God today, men may still be compared to prophets, among other offices, which is by ordination." And it goes through and lists scriptures that are in line with this. "Women such as the four daughters of Philip may also be chosen to speak prophetically through the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, but not in church services, and not as ordained ministers or as ordained prophetesses. The only ordained office within the church of God that is held by women is that of deaconess, an appointment based on solid maturity and selfless service." So we read that it is God who chooses who he will to appoint to roles of leadership. Also quoting from another Q&A, "Who is that prophet mentioned by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy?" We say, "It was pointed out that Jesus Christ himself, both in the Old and New Testament, was a prophet of God and did all the things that a prophet would need to accomplish. One of Christ's names is the Logos, the very Word of God, and you can find that in John 1:1. Since he has this title, among others, we can deduce that it is God who decides who will be prophets and what prophecy will be given, and the actual fulfillment of prophecy through the act of prophesying. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 through 4 proves without a doubt one of the roles that Christ played was of chief prophet." And so this brings me to a question, one that we've kind of already touched, but are there prophets today? From our Q&A on "Are there any true prophets in God's church today?" we say this. To summarize, there are most certainly prophets in God's church today who preach with godly inspiration, and who speak on prophecies which are recorded in the Bible. God might also give some of his servants special insight today into prophetic events and details, which might not specifically be mentioned in Scripture, but which will be in line with prophecies contained in the Bible. But at this point, there are no ordained prophets in God's church anywhere, and we do not believe that those who claim otherwise are telling the truth. We do find, however, that it is that in the future the Church of God will again have ordained apostles and prophets in accordance with the directions of Jesus Christ, the living head of the church. And it references Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. Let's quickly look at that. Ephesians 4, and beginning in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So it is the duty of those who are called into these positions to be doing it for the sake of helping everyone in the body of Christ to grow stronger in true knowledge and truth. But as it points out, we see that there are people, and there will be people, who will preach out of cunningness and craftiness, seeking their own will. You know, one cannot decide that they are a prophet. It's not a personal choice. You know, to set yourself up as a prophet, as a minister, as someone speaking for God, it's a very unwise endeavor, whether you have much knowledge or not. And in that vein, let's talk about the two prophets, the ones mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard or read people who are claiming that they are one of these prophets. But as we can see, up to this point, those who have claimed that they are one of these two prophets, they're deluding themselves, and they're teaching falsehood. You know, we see that the two individuals mentioned in Revelation, they're not called out by name. We have no idea who they will be, just like the false prophet. But we do know that they will have power from God to do incredible miracles in line with those of a prophet. They will do the work that God has set up for them to do. You know, Luke 1 and verse 17 tells us that they will have as Moses and Elijah had, the power of God. But the fact is that these men, they're not yet known. But God knows who they're going to be and how they will fulfill this role. So if anyone says that they are one of these two prophets, can probably be pretty sure that it's not true. So we've talked about prophets and how there are not any at this time. We've also gone over the fact that it doesn't mean that in the future there will not be those who are prophets or who have prophecy that we should heed. But the Bible is very replete with scriptures that point out there are multitudes, lots, tons of false prophets who do seek to deceive. And so the duty of a true Christian is to be able to tell the difference between those two camps and to stick to the truth. And I think that is the key word, and Mr. Link brought it out too. truth. Being able to judge between right and wrong. To understand what is true, what is false. 1 John 4 and verse 1. First John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We're exhorted by Christ to take warning of this. Let's look at Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Trying to take people out of the church of God. This is something that is actually a prophecy. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to you, to wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, people will distort the word of God. Again, you can go to the internet and you can see things like people saying that Paul was a false prophet. Everything he said was false, and it shouldn't actually even be in the Bible. It's just incredible what you can find online. But you have to be firm in your understanding of the Bible. It says you have to be careful that you're not led away. Do we think that this could not happen to any of us? The Bible says, if you're not careful, it can. Let's look at Deuteronomy 13 and beginning in verse 1. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way of in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. The truth of God, from the very beginning of this book to the very end, does not change. The Ten Commandments and the need to walk in the path that God has given us is true and faithful. Isaiah 8 and verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Also, let's look at Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. Jeremiah 23 and beginning verse 16. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you shall have peace.' And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.' For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it?" Verse 23, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their father forgot my name for Baal." The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So let me ask you a question. Can you tell the difference between right and wrong based on the words of the Bible? If we cannot do so now, how do we expect to do so in the future? We read that because of the deception, the love of many will go cold. The love for the truth, for the laws of God, for prophecies and the teachings, as well as for teachers. The time is coming when it will be challenging for those who are even rooted in the truth. You know, when Christ faced Satan, when he faced his death, he was moved with great anxiousness and an inward struggle. Yet he was able to conquer all through his faith, his reliance, and his prayers to God. If he had not been doing those things, he wouldn't have succeeded. So it becomes crucial, it becomes critical for us to understand who God's true teachers are today. Those who preach the word of God. Now, who is God working through? How can we know? Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 24. Matthew 24 and verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. If you're not on guard, if we are not on guard, we may see these great miracles that these false prophets will be accomplishing and be tempted to follow after them. Verse 3 of Matthew 24. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And he goes through and he shows exactly the things that would be happening before his return. We are starting to see those prophecies of Christ that he has here in chapter 24 as coming true. So we have to be on guard. We have to be wary. Remember, it says, "Beware those of you who think you stand, lest you fall." So discernment and right decisions have to be made. We have to be faithfully obedient to be able to understand prophecy and to see how all these pieces fit together. In John 15 and verse 15, Christ says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And in Amos 3 and verse 7, it says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." God wants to show us what his will is, what is going to happen. But it requires us doing our part. You know, false prophets are not something new. Even in the early church, Paul constantly wrote to the early churches, telling them that he was contending for them. He was fighting for them. He was praying for them. But he was oftentimes, as he said, surprised that they were turning away from the truth. You know, if you read through his letters, many people came and went, people that he considered friends. But yet it was his purpose to continue warning, to continue writing and preaching the gospel. If you will, let's look at Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13, and beginning of verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel, to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, Thus says the Lord. But the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, The Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. So we see an interesting correlation here between those who are self-proclaimed prophets and how it talks about how what they're doing is like building a wall, a foundation, but it's futility because it will be washed away in times of intense or severe trials. They don't truly understand or rely on God. They seek to build their own foundation, their own wall, instead of building their foundation on Christ. They rely on their own strength and cunning to try and accomplish tasks that they deem are worthy and need to be done, trying to proclaim things that are not real and have no real bearing, trying to say nice things, pretty things that people want to hear. Let's look at Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Those who no longer build their foundation within the church of God on Christ are doomed to fail. You know, the quicksand upon which these foolish people build is constantly changing. You ever seen waves hit the ocean or the sand at the ocean? It's constantly moving. It gets moved in any direction. But you throw a giant rock in the ocean, it's not going to move. I don't know if you've ever tried to move a rock. I've moved a few rocks in my enjoyment of looking for gold and gold panning. There's been a few rocks I haven't been able to move, but the rocks are heavy. Go try and pick one up. In verse 10 of Ezekiel, the chapter we just read, it says whitewashed walls in the NIV. So I wanted to point this out, that what they're attempting to do in this manner then is to make this wall look strong by covering it with whitewash. But that doesn't mean it's a strong wall. You know, these people were throwing everything they could to build this wall, but it wasn't that strong, and so they tried to hide how it was constructed. But this is not how God operates, nor is it how he instructs those in the ministry to act. In Isaiah 28 and verse 10, it says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." You know, the truth is scattered throughout the Bible. It takes wisdom and understanding to be able to piece it all together to fully paint the entire picture that God has. But that's what each of our callings is about, learning how to do this. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. While we're on this subject of whitewashed walls, let's look at Matthew 23 and verse 27. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So Christ calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. And so Christ is warning those who are called to lead people that they should actually be leading people in their right way. You know, tombs were painted white so that people knew to stay away from them because of their defilement. So what Christ is saying here is that the apparent holiness of the Pharisees was actually a sign of corruption and a warning to stay away from their teachings. Let's also look at Acts 23 and verse 20. This is where Paul is on trial at the Sanhedrin, and he's talking to all those men who were supposed to be in these leadership roles. Acts 23 and starting in verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" So we see that it was contrary to the Jewish law for him to say that. And Barnes notes on the Bible had this to say: "Thou white wall." This is evidently a proverbial expression meaning "you hypocrite." His hypocrisy consisted in the fact that while he pretended to sit there to do justice, he commanded the accused to be smitten in direct violation of the law, thus showing that his character was not what he professed it to be, but that of one determined to carry the purpose of his party and his own feelings. So I pointed all this out because the key that we should take away is that we should be looking at character, not only ourselves, but also of those in leadership positions, because God does. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Matthew 7 and verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Having good fruits is something that we have to be very keenly aware and something that we desire. Mr. Link read 2 Thessalonians, so I won't drag you through 2 Thessalonians again. But the point is that it takes a commitment and a very keen and very wary eye towards Satan and sin. It takes the power of God to be able to discern between what is right and wrong at all times. Luke 12 and verse 57 says, "Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right?" So Christ's simple question there is whether we can or whether we cannot make right judgments. 2 John 9 to 11 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shall share in his evil deeds." So this requires us knowing these teachings, believing them, making them a part of who we are, building upon them. We can't do this unless we are incorporating it into our lives on a daily basis. Acts 17 and verse 11 bears record of people who were striving to find out the truth. It says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so." They wanted to see how it stacked up in relation to their lives. Also, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. First Thessalonians 5:21. "Test all things and hold fast what is good." The last few scriptures we just read talk about continuing to grow in understanding, not drawing back, learning from our mistakes, repenting, moving forward. Knowing the truth should be our priority. And not just knowing it, but living it, so we won't get swept away. How much have you gone through in your life up to this point? What have you given up? Are you going to stop now? It's not what we're called for. You have to remember that God will never give up on us. We're the only ones that can do that to ourselves. I'm out of time, so I would ask that each of you read the entire chapter of 2 Peter 2. Take in what Peter is talking about. You know, the time is coming when each of us will be tested by our faith in some way or another, if we are not being tested so already. We have to understand what is right from wrong. We have to be able to discern. It's my job, it's your job, to continue on in the work that God has set for each of us as he sees fit. We have to remember, brethren, that the true prophets represent God and teach obedience to God. Let's quickly look at 1 Peter 1, verse 16. "Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This has to be our character. Be holy, for I am holy. We have to understand those who God sends. You know, we can do this by looking at the Bible for these truths. John 17 and verse 14. John 17, 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This word of God, this truth, the understanding of it is what sets us apart. Prophets, prophesying and prophecy are important for us in these end times. But to be truly able to understand all that these entail and how they affect our lives, we have to stand strong. You know, God is the one who opens our minds to understand the word that is written in his word, the Bible. And we cannot understand any of this truth, even prophecy, unless we are given the ability by God to do so. For last scripture, let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 to 17. 2 Timothy 3 and beginning in verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hopefully, brethren, we are thoroughly equipped as we continue to grow and continue to study the Bible, so that we too can stand and see the return of Jesus Christ here soon.